Oh, fucking blue and white. I'll even drive like Jack. Good night.
Woo! honest and he's true to his fans. He's never let us down. We never let him down. He's got a big family.
It's a special day. I've got back from hairdressing warehouses. German.
You have to try and think of what would look good anyway, and then something you haven't done before, something which is hopefully appealing, something hopefully that nobody else has done before, which is always a problem. And you can get all very arty about it and say, well, the music should stand out for itself, but that's only half the battle, because you don't listen to television, you look at it. I made it on my second album, and I'd never been on big concert tour supporting anybody. I hadn't even headlined at clubs or anything like that, so I went from absolutely nothing, rock bottom, to about as big as you can get in this country anyway. And it was very much, it's very difficult, really. And you're put in the same class as people like, obviously, Bowie and Brian Ferry and all the others of that class and standard, which is nice in my respect, but very difficult now because they've been doing it for 10, 15 years, and you've been doing it for about 10 or 15 days. And so it's, I also had a lot to learn.
So Gary, I'd like to start by asking you about the Berserker tour and album in 1984. Now, 1984 was an interesting year for you. You started your own record label, Numa Records, and with the Berserker album, you produced a fresh new synthesised sound, which was quite different compared to your previous three albums. How did the new direction come about?
Mainly to do with Trevor Horn, who was producing the Frankie Goes to Hollywood stuff. It seemed at the time that it just took production to a completely different level to where it had been before. And I loved it a lot. So it was an attempt, really, to try to follow that sort of production style that Trevor Horn had done. And the songs kind of developed alongside that, really. So the songwriting part of it wasn't necessarily influenced by the Frankie Goes to Hollywood type thing. That was more the production that came later. So we would get songs finished, bring them into the studio and try to add different parts to them and just see if it worked or not, if it suited the new style of production, suited those songs or not. And overall, it was good, actually. It worked really well.
Now, to go with your new sound, you had a stark new image. How did the concept come about?
I saw a photograph in a magazine, and I think it was years before, and it was a woman laying on a tree, and it was snow covered, and she was all painted to look like snow, I guess. And there's another one where some woman was laying on the marble, and they painted her to look like marble. And I just remembered, I thought it looked really, really cool. So again, it's another sort of like feeble attempt to go along that particular path. I think the album cover was used in a German magazine as their front cover, and I think it got cover of the year or something. I thought it was a bit naughty, really. It's my cover. They nicked it and they get an award for it. But it was quite striking. It's good.
And what was the actual overall theme of the album and the Berserker title?
I don't know if it had an overall theme. Possibly, too long ago to remember now. But the title itself, when I was younger, there were these Berserker books, but I think some man called Fred Saberhagen wrote them. But I was really into them when I was a kid. And there was like Berserker's Planet and Brother Berserker, and these were machines that were really vicious. You know, they were fantastic sort of sci-fi type stories. And so that's where it came from initially. But then I found out about the whole Viking Berserker thing, where they get themselves into this drug-crazed kind of state of war and raping and pillaging, and that was called Berserker. So there was a few connections really along the way, but initially it started with the little sci-fi books.
Gary, how frustrating was the distribution problems that you had with Numa Records to start with, that led to Berserker not charting as high as it could have done?
It's annoying. We had all kinds of problems, to be honest, and a lot of it was our own fault by being over optimistic about how it was going to go, and you know, expecting to get radio play. It was the first album that we'd done on our own, really, since leaving Beggar's Banquet. So we kind of went into it with a frame of mind that we'd had when we was with the Beggar's / Warner Brothers Universal sort of package, and you just expected things to kind of pick up where we left them off before, which would have meant getting some radio play and so on, you know. So we printed masses of these records, enough to fill a small bloody factory, which didn't sell, didn't get the radio play. You know, the whole thing just bit us quite badly. And the distribution problems are just another little fly in the ointment. Just trying to get something like that underway efficiently was a lot more tricky than we realised. We just thought it'd be a done deal. You know, you pick up the phone, you do a deal, it's going to come out this day, we give you the records on that day, and they'll be in the shops by that day. So it should be fairly simple, really. But it doesn't always quite work like that. It was frustrating, you know. It was a big move for me to leave Beggars and go off on my own. And you wanted things to be smooth, and obviously you wanted it to be successful, because there was a lot of people thought that I was finished at that point. So it was very important to us. And so these little annoyances that came along really, really were a pain, actually.
Now, both Martin Gore and Andy Fletcher of Depeche Mode are big fans of the Berserker album. Likewise, many fans regard the album as a classic. Looking back, what do you think about it?
I was really pleased at the time. There was a period sometime after that where I was, with hindsight, you know, less keen on some of the records that came later. But I think with Berserker, I was still really happy with what I was doing. Really happy, actually. I wouldn't say it's one of my all-time favourites, but it's, you know, it's not one of the ones I'm slightly ashamed of.
Now, as you say, hindsight is a wonderful thing. Now, do you think if you'd have taken the synthesised sound of Berserker to maybe a darker, more industrial level way back in 1984 going into 85, do you think that your late 80s career would have taken maybe a different path, maybe more of the top Depeche Mode style?
It's possible. It's really difficult to know for sure, because so much of it, again, depends on media exposure for it. You know, it probably, or possibly, wouldn't have mattered what sort of album it was, whether it was heavy industrial or not, because if the media didn't pick up on it and promote it, then nobody would have heard it anyway. So, you know, why would that have had any effect then, if it was a different kind of music? On the other hand, you know, it wouldn't have gone by completely unnoticed, and maybe it would have done. But you can only write and put out music the way you're feeling at the time and based on the things that you're interested in at the time and what you want to achieve with it, really. And at that particular time, it was, I had a very different sort of head on my shoulders to what I've had in more recently with the industrial thing. But still, I think the album was the right album for me at that time. I think when Dance came out, you know, to come out after two number one albums with something like Dance, which is a bit obscure, really, big mistake, probably. But, you know, again, that's what I wanted to do. And then by the time I get to Berserker, I thought I was pretty much back on track again for a while.
Now, what made you decide to film the Berserker tour?
Greed. I don't know. Was it even my decision?
So, Gary, obviously the Berserker tour in 1984 was